Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to a recording of a special Sunday morning baptismal service of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who will be conducting the baptism of two members of our congregation.
Now let us bow our heads and have prayer. And our Father, this morning as we come to Thee in the name of our precious Lord Jesus and by His authority and His power, we're asking that You would be honored in this service and that You would cause, as You created each one of us, that You would do Your will in our lives. And may Your precious Word do its work. May the Spirit of God, the Holy Guest, and may He work throughout our midst this morning. Have Your way, Lord. We pray not only for the candidates, those who are being baptized, but we pray for all of us, that we might have the blessing of the Lord Jesus upon us. We pray that we might see that what is important in this life, that we do that which pleases You. Help us to do Thy will. We ask our Father that we might be strengthened, that this service would strengthen us in the inner person, and that we might know what it is to be regenerated and have forgiveness of sins. And so, our Father, may we see the need to see that we are sinners and that we need to turn from our sins and put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave His life for us at Calvary. Our Father, we ask for forgiveness. We ask that You would help us in this life that we live here in this earth. It's so easy to be overwhelmed by the world and the flesh and the devil and let those things control us. We pray for the empowering. Yes, resurrection power to live a life here on the earth that will please You. And so we ask for strength against these evils. And we ask that we might be a blessing, and that we might be a means of helping others to enter into the kingdom of Christ by giving them the precious gospel, and that is Christ died and was buried and rose again. And now for Your glory, we give thanks in His name, our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will you sing with me some more, some baptismal hymns? And let's sing 351. Witness ye men and angels, now asking them to witness our time. 351 is the hymn. It symbolizes burial in the grave. It also identifies us with Christ and his death. It also, coming out of the water, the picture of the Holy Spirit, the water, it symbolizes us being raised to newness of life. That's what I want to show this morning. It's a powerful picture of God's grace. And I hope you would get it. I also almost thought about showing that there are things that identify us. For instance, you wear a wedding band. That identifies that you're wedded. And this identifies us in that we have, by faith, entered into and believing that Christ died for my sins and your sins, and that not only did he die, but he indeed was buried in the tomb, and 3 days later he came out resurrected. And so I believe this morning that this is a subject that's very important, because I can prove it historically. It's been very important, which I hope to do in a few moments. But it's a subject that is really misunderstood and mistaught as far as Bible teachings. Now, there's different kinds of churches, you know that, and they practice different modes of baptism. You know that too, don't you? And some churches, they sprinkle. Churches pour water on you. Some immerse. Of course, we immerse. Some will baptize infants, and some will only baptize older children and adults. The Mormons, you know, they even baptize in behalf of the dead people. And there's still others that tell us that baptism is not important and they don't practice baptism. We have a church quite close to here that does not practice baptism. And of course, the Salvation Army folk don't either, but history has really shown that it's been very divisive. And I think it behooves us to look at it a little bit and to see what the Bible teaches. And I hope to do that, to show you what the Word of God teaches. I must tell you, some of us Baptists sitting here and saying, well, this is going to be something to see. That water's pretty cold down there. And but I want to tell you, some of our forefathers would break the ice and baptize, not too far from remote from my age. And so these two young fellas are going to be soldiers for Christ, and they'll handle it, I'm quite confident. But I must tell you, I want to read something to you from history. Because if you're pretty much, say, nonchalant, well, you know, it is no big deal. The Lord Jesus says it's a big deal. He said, you make disciples and baptize them. That's a command, sir. It isn't an optional. That's what the Lord Jesus said. But I want to tell you how there were many who were killed for doing what we're going to do this morning. Let me give you a name. His name was Michael Sattler. He took his and he paid with his life. He was arrested in 1527 in Germany. So, well, that's a long time ago. Oh, but hold on. He was arrested in 1527 in Germany. Some of your forefathers came from there. For his Anabaptist preaching. Now, Anabaptist was someone who has been re-baptized, like I have been re-baptized, called Anabaptist. And some of us even go as further to say we look to a little further than just England for our origin. But anyway, I want to read the rest of this. And so he was arrested for his Anabaptist preaching, and the court sentence read like this, quote, Michael Sattler shall be committed to the executioner. The latter shall take him to the square and there first cut out his tongue. And I'm quoting from a translation from the German. Cut out his tongue and then forge him fast to a wagon and there with glowing iron tongs twice tear pieces from his body and then on the way to the site of the execution five times more as above and then burn his body to powder as an arch heretic, end quote. So don't sit there nonchalant this morning, friends. And so I'm grateful that they don't persecute us today like that, but in some portions of the world, you're persecuted for being a Christian. We had an Indian speak right here. He said, when you confess Christ as your Savior, the whole family turns against you. They even do that in the Jewish homes. If you become a Christian, they have a burial, the Orthodox, and no longer are you recognized a member of that family. And I just want to say to all of us, take some of history and think about it a little bit. And so I want to make it clear this morning, if I can, what baptism is and what it's for and how it is to be practiced. And we've got time to do that, I trust, this morning. I want to show you that it's a picture of baptism and from the Bible. And I want to use some biblical verses to show that. And it symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start with that passage in Romans 6 this morning, as I read to you in opening, the 6th chapter of Romans. I read verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That verse says something about burial. And the baptism is to indicate or symbolizes that the burial that you believe that Christ died and was buried and rose again. And you show it that this is the important thing. And I want to show you how almost first of all, the most important thing that to foreshadow every other teaching that you can think of, it should be foreshadowed by the matter of baptism. And that's pretty important. Now, I hope to show you that from the scripture here, how important this is. But it also speaks about how that baptism is like being planted. For in the first 5th verse, it reads like this. Romans 6 and verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I want you to note the words in likeness. That's like taking a picture. I show you a picture and say, well, that's only a picture. But it's a likeness of the person you've taken. This is showing the likeness of this baptism is showing the likeness of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to see. But I notice it also mentioned here in this verse 5 that it means that we were planted. We have been planted together in the likeness. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you demonstrate it by symbolizing what the Lord Jesus said about the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, resurrection, and so we put them under the water. Planting is more than just sprinkling, isn't it? When you plant something, for instance, flowers or vegetables, do you just sprinkle a little soil on top? No, you're very careful. You make sure you put it in and you make sure the ground's around and so forth. But some people sprinkle. Is that a picture of being planted? No, it's not a picture of being planted. Is it a picture of just pouring? You just take a little ground, pour on top of the plants, pour it? No. planning is to put to cover. See what I'm trying to get at this morning is some of this business of baptism, where you sprinkle a little water or pour a pitcher of water on your head. That doesn't make that doesn't fit the symbolism of the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus. That's what I want you to grasp if you can. And so if we're going to have a burial, and we've practiced burials around this place with animals. What if you just put a little ground on them, an animal carcass? What if they did that to bury humans? Just put a little water, just put a little ground on them, sprinkle on. Or pour a little shovel, pour a shovel full on them. Listen, friends, we don't do that. We bury people. That's the word, we're planet. And I honestly, without trying to be hard-headed about it, I think that we really don't take time to see what the Scripture says. The Bible is the Word of God. And it's our final for faith and practice, the final authority for faith and practice. I can't just change it the way I want to change it because it's more convenient to put a little water on or sprinkle or pour a little water on than to go down and get in some cold water. But the Word of God says we're to obey. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. And it's a command of God to be baptized. Hey. Now, I mentioned to you these words in likeness in verse 5. That for as we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's their beautiful words. It's not literally a death. Being baptized is not literally a death, however. And I laughed out of nervousness. If I were to hold them under, they would die, wouldn't they? Yeah. So I've had people say, I hope you're strong enough to get me out, get me back. And I say, listen, water is a buoyant. And so by the help of buoyancy, I've baptized people when I was younger over 300 pounds by myself. How I'm getting older, I may have to have some help this morning. Anyway, my point is, it's not literally a death, but it symbolizes death, being under the water. And I think it's important that we consider these things. And then I'm grateful for what it says here in verse 5, the last word. It also is in likeness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That is, there's a likeness. Oh, resurrection. A likeness. I think of resurrection power. Resurrection glory. What's coming when he comes back. Listen. Baptism is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel, the good news that Christ died and he is buried and rose again the third day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. And so it's a picture of the burial and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I must tell you that there's nothing magical about the water. What do you mean? Well, the water's not going to save you. There are some people that like to mix water with salvation. No. This is for believers. Those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, have turned from their sins and trusting Jesus Christ, it's for believers. It's believers' baptism. And precious little babies, as much as I love them, that they can't believe. You can't believe for me, can you? It's for people who have believed. And it's not magical. It's not going to save these folk. It will do this, though, that if we trust and obey, he says, what a glory he'll shed on our way. And he says, I want you to do this. Yes, I love the Lord Jesus. Then do what he tells you to do. I mean, after all, if it's going to be a little inconvenience, I've had people say, I can't do that. Can't get my head covered with water. I can't do that. Well, suppose the Lord would have looked at the cross and said, I'm not going to do that for you. You can die and go to hell. I'm not going to bother paying an agony and experiencing all the agony and pain for your sins and my sins. Brethren, take a look at things and see if we can get away from our self-centeredness. We're a generation of materialist and self-centeredness. Well, I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe it also shows even more clearly how that baptism, water baptism, scriptural baptism, portrays the truths of the gospel. And it makes it very clear here. And I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, who's he talking to? Talking to believers. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. They're brethren, and they believed. He said, this gospel by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and how that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. There it is. What's the gospel, the good news? Well, the good news is that Christ died on the cross. He took my hell. He took God, took the wrath of God, which I do because I've broken his laws, and I'm a sinner. Well, dear Lord, I'm in a mess. He said, you are in a mess. And you need to realize that you need to repent of your sins and that you must trust what Jesus Christ did for sinners on the cross and that he died, he was buried, and rose again. That's the precious gospel according to the Scriptures. Well, does water save me? No. There's no salvation in water. Well, let's get that clear because it tells us very clearly here about this. You notice in this 15th chapter where it says how that, let's see what verse I want here. I want verse 1. More of a brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. That word, I declare, that has the idea of that this is of first importance. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all, first importance after salvation. What's to be done after you know Christ? The first important thing is that you be baptized. Now, I don't like to say this, because in the Bible days, they baptized you as soon as you were saved. But this generation is illiterate concerning the Word of God. Yes, it is, for the most part. This generation, for the most part, is illiterate about the Scriptures. In the old days, in the early days, that they knew the Word of God, they knew the Old Testament, the Jews did. But here we are, generations later, we don't know much. And so it may mean that we spend some time and explaining these things before we baptize. However, I'm not going to criticize somebody that does it immediately upon their confession of faith. But it's nice to check out a life a little bit. That's somewhat of a personal thing, I guess. We practice a little of that. That says about being saved here. And I like that word too. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And he says, I preached unto you the gospel. What was the gospel? Please tell me, Paul, what the gospel is. He said, by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you what the gospel is. First of all, that is of foremost, is to let you know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And secondly, he was buried and that he rose again for the third day according to the Scriptures. You say, well, you're making that pretty clear. Well, I think, as I said to you, I started out, there's a lot of misunderstanding and misteaching about this subject. And I, as a preacher, I got to try to make this thing clear. And so you So it overshadows all the other doctrines that you love in the Bible. Say, well, I love to preach on predestination, or I love this. What precedes, what overshadows those great truths that you love? And that is baptisms. That is, it symbolizes the death and the burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. How that Christ died according to the Scriptures. Well, I think we ought to have a few illustrations. And so I will share with you some illustrations. And I'm going to show some pictures. Let's have some pictures here this morning, please. What pictures? Some pictures that'll symbolize what this is all about as far as... Well, let's turn to Matthew, and I'll give you first of all, Matthew in the third chapter, because if you're going to start anywhere, you ought to start with our Lord Jesus. And in the third chapter... And may I just take a moment? Is anybody a little warm in here? Was it getting a little warm? Would you? A little warm? You comfortable? Yeah, a little bit. Please, thank you. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. All right, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, what are you going to show us? I'm going to show you an illustration of a person that practiced this, what I've been talking about thus far. Who? The Lord Jesus. Oh, really? Yes. And Jesus. What about him? When he was baptized, what about it? He went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him, descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven. Wow. Saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, brethren, if I didn't say any more than that, I could just say, let's have a benediction, go down and have the baptism. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, our blessed Lord, what did he do? He was baptized, and I want to show you what that word baptized really means. It means to dip or immerse. Can you prove it? And will those who are scholarly accept it? Yes, sir, we will. They will. In fact, the matter ought to start right here. You ever hear of a man by the name of John Calvin? Well, yeah, he's kind of the founder of the Presbyterian. Yeah, that's right. And he's a great man of God. And it can read it. He said, the New Testament church practice immersion. Who? The great John Calvin. How about Martin Luther? Huh? You ever hear of Martin Luther? Yeah. Actually, the Reformation, he's responsible to a great degree of bringing out the saved by faith and not by works. Martin Luther also believed that the early church practiced immersion. And then some of you are related to Menno Simon. Menno Simon he practiced immersion. And what's going on here? You said Calvin said the early church, the New Testament church, practiced immersion? Yep. You said Martin Luther practiced immersion? Yep. And you said Menno Simon's of the Mennonites and the Amish, the founder, so to speak, he practiced it, believed that he was baptized by immersion. And the Greek Orthodox Church, how do you suppose they baptized? The Greek Orthodox. They baptized by immersion, but they put the little babies underneath the water. Little babies. Well, the mode is right, but where they got the eye out baptizing infants, that's just not in the Bible. Well, why do people do these things? Why do you do certain things that you do? And why do I do certain things that I do? Don't you know a little bit about human nature? And I'm sorry that we drag it into the church. We need to go by this book. It's our guide for faith and practice. I got sidetracked there a little bit. I have to get back to my notes here. But I'm looking at the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful example of our Lord Jesus? You say, well, I don't see anything here about... Where was he? Well, he was in the water. He came out of the water, verse 16. I don't think we ought to run from that verse right away. And the Lord was so pleased that he did that. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove on him and lightning upon him and that voice from heaven. He was pleased, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want to tell you something. I paid a price to be a Baptist of conviction, not of convenience. But I tell you, when I was baptized, it really meant a lot to me. because I was preparing to be an infant baptizer. And I saw the truth of this. And I don't mind saying I paid a price for it, but I'm glorious. I was happy, and I hope you'll be happy. I hope these young soldiers will be happy too. But you notice, this is, let's go to the 8th chapter of Acts. You want another illustration? Yes, I would like some illustrations about whether it's really done by immersion. Because you can't be, you know, how do you have all the answers? I don't have all the answers. But I do know that there's some scriptures that I believe if you look at them contextually, and I know the paedobaptist, and the paedo means child. Paedobaptist, child baptizers. I know they have verses. But I also know we've got to read them in their context. And in light of, take the word of God as an inverted pyramid. Put baptism down here. Put all the scriptures down here on that, on the matter of baptism. Instead of just taking one, saying, well, that says right there. And that isn't easy, but it's not as hard as you think. All right, Acts 8. This is a precious passage. I like this. And you know about the Ethiopian eunuch? Yes. And I'm not going to read the whole background, but it's. I ought to start here about, well, where should I start in this passage? Beautiful. All right, I'll start at verse 1 of Acts 8. And what are you going to read? I'm going to read about a man that the Lord saved and he was baptized. How was he baptized? That's what I want you to see. Well, at verse 30, Philip, by the Spirit of God, he was given instructions to go down a certain place. And on his way down, he hears this man is on a chariot and he's reading prophet Isaiah. And he comes up to him, runs up to him, I believe, and he said, you understand, verse 30, you understand now what thou readest? And the man on the chariot said, well, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humility his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And oh, glorious, Isaiah 53, it talks about our blessed Lord Jesus. And Philip, what did he do? What did he do? Verse 35, Philip, he opened his mouth and he began at that same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what happened. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, say, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, now, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing. How much of that did you get? By the Spirit of God, Philip was sent down in a certain area, and as he's going down the highway, he sees this chariot, and it's moving. And as he runs up and he hears this man reading Isaiah 53 about our blessed Lord Jesus, he said, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, well, how can I understand something unless somebody teach me? And he said, come on up here and teach me. And he taught Christ, preached Christ to him. The Spirit of God worked in that eunuch's heart. He believed. They saw some water. The eunuch said, he knew something about baptism. You know something about baptism too. Do you think you have your understanding it right? And he said, well, what would hinder me from being baptized? And he said, do you really with all your heart believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, I do. And he said, whoa, stop the chariot. And what did he do? Go down. Hey, why did they have to do that? Listen, let's be real. They carried water in those chariots. They had canteens. They say, hey, hold it. What? I'll baptize you. Where? There's no water. Hey, I got a jug here. We'll just do it. No. That didn't fit the Word of God. Or if they had quite a bit of water, say they had a gallon jug of water, you could pour a gallon of water on them, pour on it. It's called baptism by effusion. No. The example is, first he believed. We believe in believer's baptism. And they both went down into the water. You wouldn't have to do that if you used any other method. He went down into the water, both into the water, verse 38, both Philip and make it twice. So you get the point, both of them, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah, he was happy. You know, happy am I. Jesus loved me. You know, he took my sins and made me free. And he says, now I want you to obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's keeping you from being baptized? You love the Lord? Was it done right? I must tell you, this son-in-law of mine, I want to tell you, he may not even mention this, but I'm going to say it to him. Years ago, when he asked for approval, I gave him approval to marry my daughter, my baby, he said to him about he was baptized. He said, I was baptized in a brethren church. And I said, uh-oh, to myself. He was triune immersed. What's that mean? In the name of the Father. Out. In the name of the Son. Out. In the name of the Holy Spirit, and out. And I said to him lovingly, it's in the name of, not in the names of God. I said it to him nonchalantly. We've not thought about it, but I wanted him to know. I said, I don't think that's quite the way the Bible teaches. And that may not be the reason he's going to apply for baptism, but that's one of the reasons I believe that if you haven't been baptized correctly, why don't you get it done? Get it done when it's warmer, will you? I thought it would be up nice, maybe this afternoon. Anyway, where are we? You must have faith in the Lord Jesus according to this picture, this portrayal of a eunuch, a very important man, being baptized because he loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart, and he said, may I be baptized? And he was baptized and went both down in the water, and they both come up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. There was a blessing of the Spirit of God upon the whole thing. Now let's get to that word, the meaning of the word baptize. You say, well, it says baptize. Yeah, but what is the meaning of it? You say, well, how am I going to find out the meaning of it? First of all, it's what we call a transliteration. That they take a Greek word and anglicize it, make it in English, and you figure out what it means. Well, how am I going to figure out what it means? Well, get your concordance to check it out. And look under the word baptize, or baptism, and a word will come up, baptizo. Well, what do I care? What is it? I'll tell you why you should care. It always means to dip or to put under, to immerse. Well, why don't they have it in the King James Version like that? John the Immerser. Well, you got to know that little history about that, and I'm not going into that. That King James didn't want any more divisions among the church. He said, I didn't want any divisions among the Episcopal Church and the Church of England. He said, just if you're doing a translate, do a good translation. But they said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. Because the Anglican Church, the Episcopalians, they sprinkle babies. Now what are we going to do? So I guess what we'll do, we'll take the Greek word and we'll anglicize it, transliterate it, and we'll just say baptized. And then you figure it out. All right, I'm trying to help you figure it out. By the way, if that doesn't suit you, pick up the German Bible, some of you German ancestors or your prodigies of the German, and see what the German says, Ein Taufen. What does Taufen mean in German? It means to dip, to immerse. Not only that, but the Danish and most all the translations the same thing. That ought to be enough for you to say, well, I think I'll take the advice of the godly, scholarly men, what that word means, and it shows to dip or plunge or immerse or submerge. And so I say to you, dear friends, there's just no room for any other method. If you say, well, I think my baptism is all right, and I say, well, how were you baptized? Well, my mama, she took me to church, and my daddy, and they sprinkled water on me, and say, dear friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach anywhere for infant baptism. And if you want to talk to me about a changeover from circumcision, you're going to have to do a wild goose chase to do that. But that won't cut it either. See, well, I receive pouring. I think that's good enough. Dear friend, that's not what the Bible teaches either. You say, well, I was immersed. You were? Did you believe? Well, I don't know for sure about that. It's pretty young. Did you know Christ? Well, my mom and dad said, it's time for you to get immersed, son. And some people get immersed without really knowing the Lord. It's believer's baptism. I didn't hear anything. It's believer's baptism. Your forefathers paid a high price for that. And I say, dear friends, the Amish, they say, we respect our forefathers. That's why we don't have automobiles. Our forefathers didn't believe that was right. And so we follow our forefathers. Faith of our fathers. We sing that hymn. But I say to you, do you really believe that? That's what I'm going to close. I said it was a beautiful picture. It's a powerful picture. And it's not an optional thing. Take it or leave it. God, our Father, and by the way, I guess I really should show that. Last chapter of Matthew. Why? Well, some of you may not be convinced. Convinced about what? That it's an optional. I don't have to do it. I'll do it any way I want to. Oh, you will. If you're a Christian, you're going to obey the Lord, or you're going to pay the price for it. Why get yourself in further problems by not obeying the Lord? Where are we going to go? Matthew 28. Where are we going to start? Well, I like to start about verse 16 because you get the impact of it. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, ye therefore, teach. Or that it means to make disciples. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That means guest. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's a command, sir. He said, do it. You make disciples, and after they come to know Christ, you should baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Yes, our blessed Lord Jesus made provision for your salvation. Yes, he did. He gave his life on the cross. He promised you he'll be with us. And he gives us a peace that passes all understanding. Yes, he does. And if you'll turn from your sins and you trust this Lord Jesus Christ in his that he died, he was buried and rose again for our salvation, he said, yes, I'll save you. Now listen, he said, I'll change you, I'll regenerate you, I'll give you a new life. And I want to say that you can do that right now. And we don't give an invitation to walk the aisle, but you can do in your own heart and say, dear Lord, I've heard that I can be saved from my sins. And he'll change me. And he'll save me. Put his spirit in me. Say, yes. But if you don't, and you say, well, I don't think that's important. I didn't get the point. I'll tell you, it's not good news for you. I don't have good news for you. I don't have good news for you. The news I have for you, you'll die and go to hell. Now, you decide about this matter. Take it seriously. Because if you won't receive the gospel of the blessed gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus about his death, burial, and resurrection, you'll die. And you'll go to a hell, and I tell you, friends, it's a horrible place. With all your sophistication, perhaps. With all your education, perhaps. Now, those of you who are believers, say, I want to please the Lord. That's fine. I encourage you to do that. And the first thing you do that foreshadows everything else is that you be baptized.
Amen. All right. Now, with the two young fellows come up here. And if you'll stand right here, please. They look that way. And I'll ask you some questions. Let's see. Age before beauty, huh? You better go for it. Alan Cahill, we would like to hear a confession of faith in Christ or whatever that you'd like to share with us.
Well, I was graciously saved by Christ at the age of 10 at Bible camp, saved out of an Armenian church, thank the Lord. And soon after that, I thought I was due what, you know, you're supposed to do. So I got baptized in the Grace Brethren Church. And my salvation was true. I believe the Lord fully saved me and graciously forgave my sins. But I don't believe now, looking back, that I truly understood why I was baptized or what baptism meant. And I don't believe that in all these years up to this point I was truly living for Christ and allowing Christ to lead me. Not, I was splitting hairs, and I lived a lot of years looking at salvation spiritually, which it is, of course, but living my life physically, I kind of saw a difference. But I went to church and I did everything I was supposed to do. Well, that doesn't work. And I did it for 20 years, almost 30 years. And the Lord kept working and kept working. And about 5 years ago, I lost my job at Lowe's. And I think that that was the first real step the Lord was taking to knock me off my high horse. And over the last 5 years, I've just been being worked on and worked on, and I've come to the conclusion now that it was all, in, of course, in God's will, and now he is Lord of my life. Everything I do, everything I think, everything I live for, Christ is there. And I think you can ask my wife, and she'll tell you there's been a change. And you can be a church-going person and act religious, but that doesn't mean that Christ is ruling your life. No. And he wasn't ruling mine. I was trying to rule mine. And I thank God that for my wife and for my son and for this church for being there for me and allowing the Lord to work through my life and to work out these kinks, so to speak. And so now, after all these years, I'm going to follow the Lord in true believer's baptism, truly understanding why I'm being baptized in the correct way as the scripture puts forth. And it is truly, it's not something you do to get to heaven. I want to make sure people realize that. Baptism doesn't save you any more than communion or going to church or anything else. Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He spoke of the shepherd and the fold, and that there's only one way into the fold, and that's through the door, and that's Christ. And so again, that is why I'm doing it, and I thank you all for being here, and I pray that Levi and all the rest here that are younger will learn from a stubborn person to do what's right when Christ saves you, and don't kick against the prick, as it says with Paul.
Now, while you still have the microphone, we usually ask that a person make a baptismal vow. And I wonder if you will, God helping you, renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to live for Christ.
Would you affirm that?
Yes, I affirm that.
Amen. Levi, would you take a moment and please tell us perhaps a confession of faith of yours?
Although being Christianized, if you will, I did not know the true meaning of being saved. And I could not grasp the concept or comprehend how one could hunger and thirst for something that was invisible. But after being saved, I have a yearning to become more like Him. And my first priority is to become more of what He wants for my own life, and that He would mold me and shape me the way that He wants me to be, and that I may live to my full potential in Him.
Amen. While you have the microphone, as far as the baptismal vow, based upon your confession there, inasmuch as God will help you, will you renounce the world and the flesh and the devil and attempt to live a life that pleases the Lord?
Yes, I would.
Amen. All right, we're going to leave you, and we're going to walk down together to the baptismal pool. We'd like you to come down, and remember, we haven't given a benediction. We're in service. And so if you'll quietly come down, then stand back from the pool, and we'll baptize these two fellows.
We will now join the baptism portion of the service, which has already begun, with the baptism of Alan Cahill, followed by that of Levi Moser.
Upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and your baptismal vow, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Death, burial, resurrection. Levi James Moser, upon your confession of faith and your baptismal vow, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Burial and resurrection.
Is that right?
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.
Yeah.